Okay, fill out what you can. Last week, we went through this whole thing. Do it again. Let's just do the five in the front first, okay? The first words of every number. Marv, this is not an open book test, everybody. He's flipping through his notes. So, but let's just do the first part of each one first, okay? What's number one? Bible reading. Yeah, you're not handing these in or whatever. This is just to test your... It's to exercise your brain, Wayne. Okay? Yeah, that's right. Okay, and then let's jump down to number two, Bible feeding. That's Ted's favorite word. Favorite pastime. Favorite everything. Yeah. There you go, buddy. Sorry. Number three. And these are logical. You go from reading to feeding. Then you gotta, you can't even look over to the right there. Pointing to my heart, Ted. That's my heart, not my tie. Hearting would be okay. Treasuring is the word we use. Hearting would be good. Sounds like tie? What? Microphone? Okay. And you have it, you're treasuring it so that you can... Not yet. Number four. Deepening. Deepening. You have it inside you so that you can mull it over. I'm saying different words so that you don't get the rest. And then the last one is Bible. They kind of rhyme. Bible reading, feeding, treasuring, deepening, and keeping. Okay? So we've got you that far. Fill the rest out the best you can. Okay? And then we'll go over them. Like, you should read your Bible. Well, yeah, there's more to it than that. The Bible actually has more to it than just reading it. And we started with reading. We're for reading. I read my Bible every day. I'm in 1 Kings right now.
I'm in Jose.
Are you? That's different, isn't it?
I don't understand why when they wrote the Bible they didn't say what they mean instead of talking in all these dreams and...
Well, Hosea, it probably made, some of them made sense at the time, maybe.
Daniel.
Yeah, that's chapters 11 and 12 will spin your head. There.
Just as a side note, you know, as
side note, would that be C sharp? Side. Go ahead. What, yeah, is it pertinent or impertinent? Unpertinent?
Okay.
Non-pertinent?
Bear,
you are a rabbit trail, dude. They should call you Rabbit instead of Bear. Always good rabbit trails. Isn't that an oxymoron? But go ahead. I resemble that remark. Yeah, I would say, yeah, maybe in some ways. A lot of it depends on if you're educated or not. If you can't read, you're kind of stuck in some ways. though a lot, most people didn't have anything to read because there wasn't anything to read. But you had to be able to process information, and a lot of times that takes people training you. You don't know things inherently nearly as much as you know them because you've been taught them. So maybe the capacity to know, is that what you're kind of thinking of more? Our brains have kind of gotten so sin-cursed that they don't even process information as well.
Yeah.
Because I do think, too, we're dumbed down. We're not taught history. We're not taught math well. We're not taught English rightly. Adverbial modifier of the verb.
We have the rest of the Bible to reference things with.
Yep, we do, but isn't it interesting that in a day when we have more Bible study tools, we are probably the most immoral that we've ever been in the United States of America. So we have the capacity, the tools to do that, but tools do not make you. They give you nails and a hammer don't build a house. Is that what you use to build a house? Maybe. Okay. Yes. But also, too, what I think of is the other direction, because it's the capacity. I mean, I can, even on my PDA I've shared, I have more stuff than you would even care to fathom on this thing. And I could do a search for just about anything. You name a commentary, I probably have it on here. I don't use it. I do some support for the people that do this. You know, the Bible stuff on here, but I don't even know how much stuff I have in here. I do my Bible reading on here, and I synchronize my notes that I write with it. But I can look up stuff. I can. How many have heard John MacArthur? He's got a commentary set, New Testament. I have those on here. Kyle and Dalich that I referenced is a 10-volume set.
How much memory do you have on that?
It's just a little 4-gigabyte card that sits in here. But all of Kyle and Dalich. I mean, but it doesn't make you know anything.
No.
It's just in my pocket. It doesn't make it any heavier. That's the cool part. You know, I don't even know how many Greek New Testaments I have out here. You know what I mean? So, and just carrying a Greek New Testament is clunky and all that, but it doesn't make you anything by itself. But I honestly think the other thing is not only we are not educated well, by and large. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Civil War really. I knew there was a Civil War, but I couldn't tell you anything about it really until I started studying as an adult. Getting into some family genealogy stuff that no one even talks about it. And then when they do, they totally leave out, like Ken Burns' series on the public television, huge series, doesn't even mention the religious aspect, which was probably the 98% of it all. I mean, slavery wasn't an issue halfway through the war. And that's what you're taught in school. But not only are you not educated, but we also are entertainment focused, so we're watching fiction. And we're being consumed. The average person now uses 45 hours of media a week, either TV, internet, video games, or something. And it's like, that's got to be close to over a third of waking hours. And that, at the very least, even if it's all good stuff, which I would say that would be hard to argue that way, but even if it is, I believe that it fills your mind. You cannot meditate on the Word if your mind is not on the Word. That's why we go from that progression to reading, to feeding, to memorizing, and then to meditate on that. You have, and the Bible says you have to meditate in it day and night in order to be prosperous. And if you don't do that, seemingly the opposite is true. You won't be. So I think, you know, I'm not arguing that we're dumber in some ways, but also I think our educational system is by and large propagandized evolution, even anti-Godism and all of that, to where, you know, when you say, you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance in a nation that was founded on the principles of God. You know, it's just people don't know our history, so therefore they rebel against the truth kind of thing without even knowing it. But then when we fill our minds, I don't think we've seen anything yet. I mean, it's already wrong in Canada to speak against, morally against homosexuality because that's considered a hate crime. Well, what about this? What's the word? Tolerance. Tolerance is another word for immorality because it's tolerance against anyone that is doing wrong. But if you have a view that does not allow, in your own personal view, that does not allow it, you are intolerant and therefore you are hateful and therefore should be prosecuted.
Exactly.
So, it's illogical, but we will be more and more, the world will be able to be led by one man because of they're duped into following something. And I don't think it's because they're unable to process information. I think they just have the wrong information and all. So I think we're dumbed down more than we're dumb. I think in some ways we have the ability to know more than ever before, but we just don't. We don't learn. Or the other opposite is we just pursue teaching without doing anything with it. Itching ears kind of idea. So anyway, thanks for the rabbit trail there, Bear. We'll call him Bear Rabbit from now on. Okay, go ahead. Finish it out the best you can. Bible reading. Let's just go through these. We don't have a lot of time. So let's, up at the top. No, and I know it's hard. And I want you to get the concept more than being able to just rote memory regurgitate it. But if you remember the five elements of being saturated with the Bible, that's key. However you remember them. Okay, because I give you several different ways. But Bible reading, what is that? What is it good for? Is the next word.
Familiarization.
When you read your Bible, you learn the big picture. It doesn't make you an expert in anything, but the more you read it, the more you get it. Okay. There's a lot of stuff you won't understand, and I would suggest even there's probably stuff that you will misunderstand because some stuff takes time or, you know, it's not the way it looks. But that's where study and stuff comes. But it familiarizes you. It helps you see God from a broad perspective. It helps you to see mankind in all of their sinful, and I'm going to use the word, all of their sinful glory. Even King David, doesn't he just tear your heart down? When you see his family, and all I think is, I just read last night, Solomon, his brother, Absalom's brother, Abiathar. No, it's Abimelech. I think it's Abimelech. There's so many names. You don't know anyway, right? So I could say anything, right? Probably, because I don't know. But it was Abiathar or Abimelech. I'm not sure. I think Abiathar was the priest. But he said, I'm going to place myself, he's Absalom's brother, and he's going to place himself as king. King David had Abishag, the gal to keep him warm, remember that? And then I think it was Abiathar maybe. He's going to go and set himself up as king. Isn't it interesting that arrogance runs in the family because Absalom tried to do the same thing? But because of all of his multiple wives, you remember that was forbidden back when. That was forbidden before they ever had kings. You couldn't, and David added enough, but all of his problems, maybe not all, but a lot of his problems came from the multiple wives, you know. Amnon rapes Tamar, and then Absalom holds it bitter and then kills Amnon, and, you know, and it's just kind of, and then Absalom gets bitter at his dad because he doesn't really acknowledge him at all, and he comes back and leads a rebellion against him. Now this is coming back, and Solomon just ends up putting him to death because he sees Abiathar wanting to marry the Abishag, which, by the way, if you marry a queen, you become the king, and Solomon saw that. He even Abiathar talked Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, to go in and ask him for her. And he says, he's my older brother. You might as well just give him the kingdom now. And he went and put him to death that day. You know, he could see it was his heart. He'd already rebelled once and he deserved death. And Solomon let him go, but it's just huge. But David's life, as a result, by and large, he's a man after God's own heart because he would turn back to the Lord, but he was not a man after God's own heart in many ways with regard to his... He added himself at least multiple wives, and then Solomon made him look like monogamous compared to, I don't know, David had 8 or 12 wives, something like that. Solomon had 300 wives and 600 concubines, or vice versa. Which he started right away, which is interesting too. But it shows you how wicked we can be as people and how much we need the Lord. Okay? It's not depressing, but it's the idea of it's realistic. We're not as good as we think we are, and we certainly can't function independently of God. Okay. So Bible reading is familiarization, and Bible reading is knowing what the Bible what says. When you read, you kind of get to know it. And we use the illustration of our sponge, but it's like a fine mist that, you know, you don't. It's not like plunging it in a bucket, because reading isn't like that. You don't get the Bible that deeply when you're reading, but it's like a fine mist. And the more you read it, the more you absorb it, and the more you get it, and things start coming together. But it takes process. It takes time. Okay. So Bible reading, knowing familiarization, knowing what the Bible says. Now there's two types of reading, and that's what's up down below: public reading, personal reading. And then it's also reading the Bible out loud in a group setting. You see that quite a bit in the Bible. They'll stand and read all morning long. Men, women, and children. Again, they didn't have a Bible. Right? It can't say, everybody open your scrolls to whatever. And they, you know, no one had it. There's just no way to mass produce such things. So they would read. But also public reading seemed to be that way even in the New Testament. You read it out loud in a group, you have a common ground, just like we read some text today together. You have a common focus at the moment. But also personal reading, reading the Bible each day for, yeah, yourself, myself, yeah. Okay, and you need that too. The Bible says we're to meditate in the Word day and night. That won't come just showing up to church on Sundays. And we believe in showing up to church on Sundays. But we believe in church. Showing up in church this Sunday is about as adequate as showing up to the dinner table only on Sundays. Because you need God in your life all day, every day kind of thing, and that's what it says. So you need the infusion of the Word of God, even the review of stuff we talk about, all of that, we try to encourage you in that way as well. But reading the Bible each day for yourself. And again, I would encourage at least a chapter a day. Not because the smaller pieces are wrong, but because I really think you need to make it through the Bible regularly. A chapter a day will probably take you about, I think it's about 3 years. There's like just under 1,100 chapters. But if you read 15 minutes a day, you'll finish in 40 weeks, the average reader. It's not hard to finish the entire Bible. So I'm a slow reader and I take a lot of notes, so I'm at a 2-year pace, like I said, right now. But I've done it, you know, once a year kind of thing. But I encourage you to do that. And I'm busy just like you are. But 15 minutes a day you can read through. And so read a chapter, Dan. Write something down that, you know, what's here for me? The best of my knowledge, what's here for me today? Just to get to know God. And if it takes you 3 minutes, good, you're done. You know, just to keep at it, though. And if you can read 3 or 4 chapters, 4 chapters a day, well, you'll finish in 40 weeks. So it's not that hard. Some of them are longer chapters. Some of them are boring chapters. And some of them are just fantastic chapters. And you don't know until you get in there. Some of the best stuff you'll find is in Leviticus. Some of the worst, boring stuff is Leviticus, too.
One time you read it, it'll be boring, and then another time you'll read it, and the Lord will show something to you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know you've read this. Why didn't I see this before? You know, kind of, yeah. So, very good. Or you see more. It's like, oh, man, I underlined this, but I totally missed this. Mm-hmm. It ties in. It ties in. It does. It starts slowly webbing together. So, yep. I would say to a degree, the more you read it, the more you understand it. That takes us to number two. Number two is what? Bible what?
Feeding.
Bible feeding. Ted said amen to that, right? Let's see. And that's instruction is the word. Bible reading is familiarization. It doesn't make you an expert, but the more you read it, the more you kind of see the big picture. The Bible does not in any way indicate that you can fully learn the Word of God without being taught, though. Okay? The pastors that equip the saints for the work of ministry, the same that you, things that you've been taught, Timothy, you teach the faithful men who what? Can teach others also. No one's you know, given direct revelation from God. That's what the Word of God's for, and we're given teachers to help us to do that. But Bible teaching instruction, learning what the Bible means. Learning what the Bible means. That doesn't make any teacher perfect. That doesn't make any pastor perfect in any way, shape, or form. But we believe that there's a process that's there, that there's things that we simply cannot know without being taught. And there's some things, like I said, that we might misunderstand. And I tell you what, just because you teach doesn't mean you understand everything either. I think I have as many questions in my Bible reading notes as I do comments. I told you a couple weeks ago, I couldn't believe it. Why did God allow, who was it? Gideon. They offered Gideon the kingship. Become our king. You know that? No. I'm nothing. Well, he eventually started, he apparently became popular and got rich off of his celebrity in some way. He was a hero, of course. But he married many wives. And his son that he interestingly named, a son by a concubine, he named Abimelech. By the way, Abimelech means my father is king. Abimelech decides to take that a little more literally, and he kills all of his brothers. He was the first king of Israel. Did you know that? Long before Saul was. Not the entire nation, probably, but a realm or region of it. But ultimately, God judges him, and I'm like thinking, why didn't God keep him from doing that? You know, stuff like, I don't have all the answers. That's one of my questions, not my answers, okay? So it's tough, you know, and ultimately God judged him. He was the guy that died from a woman throwing a millstone down on his head as he was trying to enforce his power. Okay, so Bible feeding, instruction, learning what the Bible means. There's things that we simply can't know without being taught. We need to be discipled. We need to learn. And that's a lifelong process. No one ever knows everything. And I don't know about you, but I can't even remember what I know. You know, you got to keep, Peter talks about in 2 Peter, I'm reminding you of things that you already know. And it's like, maybe I didn't get that so much when I was younger. I fully understand that now. That's what Lynn at work is always reminded me. You got to do this. Oh, yeah, thanks. So, number three, Bible treasuring, memorization, right? Memorization. The Bible assumes and assigns the concept of memorizing the Word of God. I do not believe we can be successful or effective believers if we do not memorize the Word. Now, part of that is you can read something so often that you get it. You can write it so often that you get it, or whatever the case might be. We're not trying to make you feel guilty, but we are trying to encourage you to do it. But what's the description at the end? It's very biblical language. Hiding what the Bible says into my head.
My heart.
Yeah. Hide everything into Ted's heart. Okay? Hiding it. And those are biblical terms. It's probably more poetic. But the Bible talks about writing it on the tablet of your heart. And you can't do anything, really, unless you have it memorized. And we said that whether it's baking, what's a teaspoon? You know, you got to memorize stuff before you can actually use it. And you need to do that. And the Bible helps you to understand it as you memorize it as well. So the next one deals with that little Bible deepening, and that's meditation, right? And again, I would go back to Bear's very relevant, non-impertinent point, the idea, well, maybe we're dumbed down, but I think maybe we're just preoccupied. We're distracted. The Bible says in Luke 8 that the seed, the same seed, the seed is the Word of God, right? Falls on the stony ground, the birds keep pick it up so they can't believe, and then it falls on the wayside, and the devil takes it so that they can't believe. And the next one, they believe for a while and fall away because of persecution in their hearts. The next group says that the seed falls among the thorns, and they grow, but then they get choked by what? The cares, riches, or pleasures of this life, so that they become unfruitful. They're alive, but they're not yielding any fruit. And I believe the distraction of entertainment, and it's multifaceted, whether it's a movie, sports, or any occupation, it doesn't make those necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but they have become our preoccupation. When you can draw 400,000 people to watch cars go around in circles instead of going to church, something's wrong. And how many of those are believers? I would say any institution, any pastime would die if believers would quit supporting it. And I'm not saying that everyone should be, all those should be bad, but they've become our gods. They've displaced, they've distracted us. They've choked us so that the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life have choked us so we'll become unfruitful. They're distracting. Okay, they aren't wrong in and of themselves, but they could become wrong if we put them before the Lord. And it could be anything. Absolutely, you could, I suppose you can make Bible study a god. I don't know. Most people probably don't have that problem. Okay, so memorization, thinking about what the Bible says. Thinking about what the Bible says. And we put that after instruction because meditation helps you to think about what it means, but instruction still helps fill in some gaps. What did I say? Well, number four is Bible deepening, memorization, thinking about what the Bible says. So thinking goes later, farther over. Does that make sense? Number four, Bible deepening. Next space, meditation. I have an ION. I have familiarization, instruction, memorization, meditation. Okay, so they're nouns there. And then I have a gerund, thinking about what the Bible says. Hiding what the Bible says into my head. Learning what the Bible means. So I do in different ways. I should have just probably given you one. Okay, but the Bible says that we're supposed to be meditating on the Word day and night. And one of the benefits of reading your Bible, too, is it kind of gets you in that focus. It helps you to do that, but memorizing as well, too. The more you get familiar with it, you start thinking about it. When you start falling asleep thinking about David, I mean, that helps. It does. It really helps you to do stuff. And the Bible even talks about meditating on your bed. Okay, so maybe it's the last thing you do when you go to bed, maybe. Fill your mind with the Word of God too, rather than watching a MASH rerun or something, you know, something like that. So, which doesn't fill you with good things, probably. Okay, what's the last one? Bible keeping, and it's an ION word. Application. You know, I should make this into a chart rather than a list, and it would make more sense. No. Sorry. Application. And what is application? Doing what the Bible says. What's the difference between knowing and doing? Everything. James 1. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, what good does it do you to know it if you look into the mirror and then walk away and do nothing about it? Okay? And again, I honestly believe we're building a generation of people that know about the Bible but don't do anything with it.
Doing the dishes, you can think about it all you want.
Exactly. You can know how to do the dishes. You can know that you should do the dishes. But guess what gets the dishes done? Doing the dishes, isn't it? Isn't that ultimately there? A lot of people rely on the pastor to somehow pump them up to motivate them to go do it. The Bible seems to say that no, it's your concentration on the Word of God and simply obeying the Word of God as He has enabled you already to do so by the Spirit of God that lives within you. Greater is He that is in you, He that is in the world. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield your members, your body parts as instruments of righteousness to God, Romans 6 says. So. Okay? Oh, the top one is filling, yeah. I am filling myself with God's Word. That Ted likes the word filling as well. He prefers Bavarian cream. Pudding. Mm-hmm. Joshua 1:8. Why don't you write that out at the bottom of your notes there? Yeah, you could do it. We've repeated it today even for you, so we've reviewed it. I remember when I went into the military, the first church that I was able to attend while I was down in Augusta, Georgia, had us memorize this verse. I'm so thankful. And then I started studying about the Bible, and that gave me a good foundation, even though I had a good church foundation already. But it got me into more serious Bible study. We're dumbing it down for you, Bear. It's even an echo. You don't even have to think. You just repeat after me kind of thing. The kids like it. Were they singing anything about flags Wednesday night? We introduced them to a new song Wednesday night. They just loved it. No, that's fine. No, I tell you what, Bear, I'm the least complicated person. I can't remember everything. That's why I have a 5-point plan of salvation and stuff. You know, like 6 points is too many. I can't remember. I had to memorize 97 verses for my personal evangelism class, and it didn't do me any good. How do I keep all that track of 97 verses? So I had to hang them on something. So no, I try to do it so I can remember stuff. And I actually wrote it for the kids, which I'm a big kid, so that works really well. But it helps me remember stuff, too. That sometimes just rote memory doesn't work. So, and then you go walk away. And thus, the value. Yeah, we do the books of the Bible, too. The Old Testament right now. So, not the way I learned them, though. I don't like this, I'm learning it, but I learned it a different way. But the way I learned it, we always pronounce it Haggai, and there was another one. And it's like, where did they get that? Well, they had to say it. They had to say it because that's how many beats were in them.
Remember Obadiah?
See, I didn't learn Obadiah.
No, remember when I said that in class?
Was it my class?
Oh,
and the Italian prophet Malachi. In the missionary epistle, the Philippines. Chew, are you allergic to me, Devin? Chew. No, you're just not allergic to good. You're allergic to poor humor. It wasn't funny. Sneeze, sneeze, sneeze. So, any questions or comments? Has this been helpful to you at all? We are actually going to spend the next couple of weeks focusing on the Christmas narrative. As a group, you know, as all the classes. Kevin, we write a Sunday school class, curriculum, and then everybody studies the same thing. So all the classes are studying this at their level. So yeah, next week is, I think, Santa Claus and Rudolph, or I can't remember. Yeah, the fours and fives is an empty seat. I know that. Yeah, but we are, and the teens have to memorize. They make the teens memorize more and all that. But we are going to start prayer in January as a second discipline, and we're going to talk about it kind of in the same way. And our goal is to help you develop this as we go. We've taken it slow enough so that we kind of do this. We're not going to forget what we've learned, but we want you to keep reading every day the Word of God and, you know, and work on memorization and all that and meditation, and it'll help you. It will. It's essential. These are essential disciplines for believers. And a disciple is one who develops disciplines. A learner. You learn things, and it's essential. It's kind of like teaching kids how to eat. If you don't eat, you don't grow, and you don't stay healthy. So, alrighty. Let's, no other rabbit trails? Okay. Bear rabbit, though. I like that. I do. We'll have to remember. Anniversary of Pearl Harbor, a bear became bear rabbit. Really? Really? Yeah, okay. Well, good. Yeah, remember Pearl Harbor. Well, that was, what, 1941? So 57 years ago?
That's a good quick
measure.
Pardon me?
4 to 6 hours after Pearl Harbor.
Oh, really?
My dad was the radio man who started the final invasion of the moon.
One of the things, this is a rabbit trail, bear. This is mine. One of the disheartening things about humankind is you study and become educated about history is how political war is. Whether it's the Civil War where Grant would not go and not call a ceasefire so that they can go and pick up all the wounded soldiers from both sides, so they basically just laid there and died at Vicksburg, or the fact that Eisenhower lied to MacArthur so that he would leave the Philippines thinking he was going to Australia to pick up a massive force to come back and rescue his people, and instead he was just there. Yeah, and also, I mean, they had reasons, but Eisenhower did that because he didn't feel they could handle two wars at once, and I'm like, sometimes you wonder if you just need to do your best. But a lot of people died in the Philippines terribly. They just kind of let them go. So. All right, anyway, we've had our history lesson. We've had, philosophy today. We've learned a little about Ted's eating habits, ice cream, bananas, and whipped cream. So I think we're good. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we can encourage one another to walk with you in your word, and help us, Lord, not to forget the things we have been working on and reviewing these weeks, but help us to just continue to read the word, to be studying the word under teachers and even our own tools and so on. Help us to memorize the word of God and then to think about it, what we've read, what we've studied, what we've memorized. And then, Lord, help us to be doers of the word as well. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.